when Pastor Nate departs, it's a good signal for me that it's my turn to go on to the pulpit. I think we've all witnessed something on television through a court scene where somebody will stand there and they will swear and say, "I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth." Well, here we are as believers in Jesus Christ, and we are reminded that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus' words are absolute, 100% truth. And everything that we read about Jesus in Scripture is the truth. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit cooperated to get the universe and the world and put it all together and to put us in this world, to make a world that would sustain life as they had designed, for which we praise God. And in his word, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit also cooperated and worked together to put together his word, which we have as the Bible. And in the Bible, the Holy Word of God, we know everything that we need to know about the past, about the present, and about the future. In terms of the past, there are lots of theories out there as to how this world began and what happened. But all you and I need to do is to read the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, and we will find out the truth as to what has happened in the past. And then, in the present, you know that over the past few weeks, Pastor Nate has been preaching from the book of Jude. And as he's been preaching from this book, it teaches us how we are to live in the present. But also, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they have determined there are certain things about the future that we need to know. They recorded it in his word, and it's important for us to know what the future is going to happen, what is going to take place during the future. There is a statistic going around, and the statistic is that 80% of congregations throughout the world never talk about future events as recorded in Scripture, that they never talk about the items that God has determined has been important and for us to know. But I want this congregation to know, and that's why this morning I'm talking about a future event. It may not be all that future, but the future event is called the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. Now, down through centuries, ever since it was recorded in Scripture, people have been thinking about mark of the beast. There are some people who know what it means, and there are other people who even quote the phrase mark of the beast, and they have absolutely no idea as to what it really means. Now, this mark of the beast is going to come during a future time, as I said, maybe not too distant from now, during the period called tribulation, when the mark of the beast will be implemented, and they will be the mark of the beast will be under the control of two very key personalities that we'll be referring to in a moment. This mark of the beast is real. It's going to happen. And I believe that there are signs that we see even today that are indicating that this mark of the beast may not be too far away. But it is vital that we as believers understand and know. Those of you who have looked at and studied World War II, or perhaps you've noticed some documentaries or movies on World War II, you will know that there was a time when there were concentration camps. And in those concentration camps, there were prisoners. Most of those prisoners were Jews or of Jewish descent. And on one occasion, there was a young man, a young boy, 12 years of age, with his younger brother. And they were lined up in one of two lines. They were standing in this particular line, and they asked an older man and said, "What are we standing in this line for?" And the man said, "You see those two chimneys over there?" "Yes," he said. He said, "Do you see the smoke rising from those chimneys?" "Yes," the boy said. The man said, "Well, tomorrow you will be the smoke rising from those two chimneys." So the boy took his brother's hand, and he left that line and went to the latrine. He went to the latrine, and they found a back entrance. Perhaps they'd already known about it. And anyway, they escaped through the back entrance and went to the other line. The other line was the line for a workforce. And when they got in this lineup for the workforce, as soon as they registered, they were given a number tattooed to their hand or to their arm. And this was a number that they were given, and everybody in that concentration camp had a number of some nature. This was not the mark of the beast, although many people had referred to it as a possibility of the mark of the beast. But I can tell you, it was something like the mark of the beast. And we'll say more about that later. But let us now turn to Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 18. Revelation chapter 13. Now, this is God's word. It's telling us something about the future, something that he wants us to know, because if he didn't want us to know it, it wouldn't be there. And it is there for us to know. So, Revelation chapter 13, beginning to read at verse 11. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1224. Let us hear the word of God. Then I, that would be John, I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, that would be the first beast, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is much in that passage that would take many sermons to cover. This morning, however, the Lord willing, we're going to look at three major topics: the personalities behind the mark, the purpose of the mark, and the perplexities about the mark. Well then, the personalities behind the mark. A number of students of Scripture may be surprised to learn they've known about these two beasts that are going to emerge. And they may be surprised to know that the first beast is what we refer to as the Antichrist. That would be the world dictator. And the second beast would be the false prophet, and he is the one who was the world religious leader. Now, I need to remind us that if we understand Scripture correctly, the true church of Jesus Christ will not be here during that time. We will be raptured out ahead of the tribulation. I believe that to be true. There are some who believe it'll happen halfway through or at the end of the tribulation. I lean toward it happening before the tribulation begins. So the church is out of here, but everyone else who is left behind will come under the influence of this world dictator, the Antichrist, who's against everything that Christ stands for, and the false prophet, the world religious leader. Now, I'll be surprised to learn that the Antichrist does not himself implement this mark of the beast, but rather the false prophet does on behalf of the world dictator. And kind of interesting to me is that this refers to the unholy Trinity. We know what the Holy Trinity is. The Holy Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one, one in three. But here we have the unholy Trinity. What is the unholy Trinity? They are trying to duplicate God in some way, the Holy Trinity. We have Satan, we have the Antichrist, and the false prophet. We have sort of a triangle. It is the unholy Trinity. This unholy Trinity, certainly the satanic part, is alive and active and well today. It would not surprise me if the person who will be the Antichrist or the person who will be the false prophet is also alive today. The false prophet, working on behalf of the Antichrist, will use the mark to subjugate the world during the tribulation period. Let us look at the scripture that says this. He also forced everyone, small and great, everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Now, we already read that, but this is to emphasize what this false prophet is going to insist happened to every individual on earth. Hopefully, during that time, now believers, true believers have gone. We're in heaven in glory with Jesus. While this 7-year tribulation is happening here, we'll be there with him. And hopefully, there'll be some people left behind who will remember the next scripture verse. The next scripture verse says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Now, that's very true during the tribulation, but let me tell you something. There are false prophets in the world today, people who are leading other people astray. They are adding to the Word of God. They are taking away from the Word of God. And it amazes me that they have cults of people who will follow them. We have to be very wary about any false prophets. They are alive and active and well today. The false prophet during the tribulation period will be deceiving millions of people, not just tens or 20s or 30s, not just hundreds, but will be deceiving millions of people. He will have he's the so-called religious leader, the false prophet. Keep in mind, he is false. Everything that he teaches will be false. These are the personalities behind the mark. Satan, the world dictator, the Antichrist, the world religious leader, called the false prophet. Now, the purpose of the mark. You'll notice the words up there, control, absolute control. I'm going to build around that for a moment, but these are the words. Keep it in mind. Keep in mind, this is the purpose of the mark of the beast. The so-called mark of the beast will be forced on everyone. Those who take the mark will be swearing allegiance to the Antichrist. Only those who have the mark will be able to buy and sell. Only those who have the mark will be able to get food, be able to get shelter, be able to get transportation. If you don't have it, you will not be able to. It's speculated that those who do not have the mark will finally come to the point, or haven't taken the mark yet, to realize they were wrong all along. They never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. Now they are trusting Christ as Savior and Lord, and they absolutely refuse to take the mark because they will not give allegiance to the Antichrist. Sadly, many of those people will be beheaded for their faith, but they will have the faith. They will end up in glory with Jesus. But the important thing for us to know is that people will be forced to take the mark of the beast, to buy and sell and do everything that you need to do in order to live, and you're swearing allegiance, absolute allegiance, to the Antichrist. Now, the message is this: never, 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 you'll hear this again before the morning is over, never, never, never accept the mark of the beast. You and I will be out of here, but I don't know about everyone in this congregation. I would like to think that everyone is saved. Everyone has put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord and will be caught up in the rapture. But just in case there are those that have not been caught up, then you're going to be left behind. And if you are left behind, do not take the mark. And do your best to put all your trust in Jesus. Go back to the scripture. Go back to the words of Revelation, the words of Daniel, the words of the gospel. Go back to these scriptures and look at them. If you've been left behind, and finally decide to put your absolute trust in Jesus. This little boy I told you about, the Jewish boy who was in the lineup, he took the mark. He was not swearing allegiance to the then dictator. He just took the mark because he had no choice. But during the tribulation period, to take that mark is not only taking it, not only receiving it, not only using it for your better good, your so-called better good, but it'll be swearing allegiance to the Antichrist. In reality, there will be this fusion of government and religion that will take place during the tribulation period. people will not be allowed to buy and sell and have housing, all those sorts of things that are necessary. Personally, I was appalled back when the trucker strike took place in Ottawa. I was appalled that the government froze the bank accounts, a number of the people who were involved in that activity. This is plain wrong. I may get in trouble for saying it, but it is plain wrong. It shows you just by a stroke of an act of parliament or by whatever it takes that our bank accounts can be frozen. This is all a matter of control. And if we think that was bad, and I do, I think it was wrong, it was incorrect, it should not have happened, period. But having said that, during the tribulation period, there will be absolute control that will take place over every person's finances. If we think of, I don't really understand cryptocurrency and all that we hear about on the news these days, but I suspect that whatever it is, it's going to be measured by control. Someone is going to have control over it and ultimately have control over your bank account and mine. It's all leading up. We're not in the tribulation yet. Are we in some tribulation-like times? Yes. But the tribulation comes after the rapture of the church. So the personalities behind the mark, Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet. The purpose of the mark, control. Absolute control over people, over everybody. And then the perplexity about the mark. As indicated in introduction this morning, it is not unusual for people to have never read the Bible or have never heard about the mark of the beast. And yet some of them seem to know something about the mark of the beast, 666. The mark and number have been featured in novels and in movies, feature films, invoking mystery and terror. Usually the references have absolutely nothing to do with the fact of Scripture. That's why I want our congregation to know. Sometimes even people joke about it, but the power of Satan in our lives is nothing to joke about. Strangely enough, numbers seem to have a strange effect over people. There are any one of a number of hotels and apartment buildings that do not have a floor number 13. Why? Because there are people who are superstitious about the number 13 and will not rent or will not live or will not go to floor number 13. It's actually there. It's just it's 11, 12, 14, 15, 16. But anyway, the floor is, they just forget about it. Or then there are those who refuse in any way to take the number 666. There are people whose address has been 666. They don't know what it's all about, but they decide they don't want to have that address. There's one person that I know in a licensing bureau, and they have a license plate that's been sitting there for a long period of time. It has numbers on the left and letters on the left, six numbers on the right, 666. And whether the people know it or not, they don't want to take the number 666. Well, we know what Scripture has to say. We read for this. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. Well, intriguing and interesting. There have been lots of items attributed to 666. For example, Goliath. We all know the story of David and Goliath. Goliath was 6 cubits high. The head of his spear was 600 shekels, and he wore 6 items of armor. So some people have said the 666 referred to Goliath. And then we read about the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. The statue of Nebuchadnezzar was 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide, and 6 musical instruments summoned the Babylonians to worship. Some have thought this was the mark of the beast, not the mark of the beast. Down through the years, any person who had 3 names with 6 letters in each name was always suspect of possibly being the Antichrist. For example, Ronald Wilson Reagan, the president of the United States. three names, six letters in each name. People wondered if he was the Antichrist. Then there are people today who wonder if Obama was the Antichrist, and those who wonder whether or not Biden is the Antichrist, even though they don't have 666 in their name. The Bible often connects the number six with mankind, with humankind. We are created, Adam was created in the sixth day, and we are encouraged to work only 6 days per week. In contrast, the number of God is seven. He created many things in sets of seven. For instance, the seven colors in the spectrum, seven notes in the diatonic musical scale, 7 days in the week. There are seven feasts of the Lord. There are many groups of seven in the book of Revelation. For example, there are seven churches, seven spirits, seven stars, seven lamps, seven seals, etc. And then, remarkable to me, is in the Gospel of John, there are seven I am statements. I am Jesus saying these seven statements. Do you think it's just coincidence or strange that there would be seven? No, I think it's absolutely divinely designed that there were seven. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the true vine. Jesus said all of these I am statements, seven of them. Praise be to God. Seven is called the perfect number, while six is an incomplete number. Someone has observed that no matter how many sixes you put together, you'll never end up with the perfection of seven, God's number. And that, of course, is a lesson for us. Here's the lesson. Man without God is always incomplete. Could we have the next slide, please? Man without God is always incomplete. I think it's back a little bit. Back. Well, I don't know where it is. Anyway, here's the statement. We don't seem to have it there, but here's the statement. Man without God is always incomplete. There it is. Man without God is always incomplete. We long for completeness that can only be found in Jesus. Now, just look at it for a moment. There's a lesson to be learned. Man without God is always incomplete. If you do not have God in your life through Jesus Christ, you are incomplete. We long for completeness that can only be found in Jesus. I long for completeness. If Andrea doesn't mind me telling a little story, and if she does, I'll hear about it later. But Andrea would play the piano, and she'd play an arpeggio and go up and not hit the last note. Or she'd play a scale and not hit the last note. I'd be in my little office, and that last note would drive me nuts until I ran to the piano and struck the note, or until I sang it, or until Andrea played it. It was having this feeling of completeness. You hear almost the whole scale, but not the whole thing, and that's what it is with you and with me. We want a certain completeness. This completeness is found only in Jesus. So we've observed the personalities behind the mark, that is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The purpose of the mark was control, one word. I think about government things happening today. Climate change, for example. Finances, for example. One crisis after another. Sometimes, I believe, started so that the government will have its control over us. The perplexity about the mark. Actually, we seem to be uncertain exactly as to what 666 means. We have an indication. It'll become absolutely clear during the tribulation period. All that John saw back then in the first century must have been overwhelming for him and somewhat confusing. I'm sure he wondered, how is all this going to happen? But here we are now in the 21st century, in complete knowledge of what the scripture has to say. And we know that things are now possible that were not possible during the first century. Whether the coming mark of the beast be some sort of a tattoo or a microchip slipped under the skin, or a barcode, we don't know. But what we do know is it will be fully implemented by the middle of the 7-year tribulation period, and everyone who is alive at that time will either take the mark and die or not take the mark and finally put their trust in Jesus. Now, you heard our brother Bob this morning speak about the love of God. There is nothing that matches the love of God. That is why we celebrate around the communion table, for God so loved the world. We are reminded about the love of God. But one thing that people forget is there is the wrath of God. There is the fury of God. It is coming against all sinners in the world. Let's read a little bit further in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verses 9 to 11. A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day, no night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name." That is why I want this congregation to know. If you have not put your trust in Jesus, you will be left behind. And if you are left behind, you need to know what the situation is going to be, what the conditions are going to be. And your family members need to know what the conditions are going to be. That's why we need to pray so fervently and so deeply about any of our family members who know not Christ as Savior and Lord, because they're going to go through that tribulation period, and it is going to be hell on earth. And God's wrath is going to be poured out. We hear a lot about the love of God. We also read in Scripture, he will by no means clear the guilty. This is very serious stuff, believe me. But I want our congregation to know. Do you remember the story of the three Hebrew men under Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The king had built a large statue of himself, and he wanted everybody to bow down. I think in a way, that's what's going to happen with the Antichrist. He's going to have a big statue or hologram or something of himself, which everybody is going to be forced to worship. Well, these three Hebrew men in the fiery furnace, they would not worship. And this is what they wrote, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, thrown into the fire, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. Deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." These three men of God would not bow down to the image, to the statue. There will be people during the tribulation period who will not bow down to the Antichrist. Praise be to God. It is much better for this world, for you and for me, to give our life to Jesus, put all our trust in him before the tribulation period and before the rapture. Because during the tribulation, we are going to have tribulation that we have never dreamt of. And it's going to be very, very difficult, and we may lose our lives because of it. The three men were, in my mind, precursors to the tribulation period, forced to do something they were not prepared to do. Their decision will mean repression, loss of freedom, maybe even lead to their death. That is, those who refuse the mark during the tribulation period. But if they stand tall, if they put their trust in the Lord, regardless as to what is going to happen to them, they will be saved for the rest of eternity. I want you to hear these words. Young or old, never, never, never accept the mark of the beast. Never. It's swearing allegiance, not to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but to the Antichrist. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for giving us insight into what is coming in this future. You have deigned it to be written so that we could read it, we could comprehend it, we could understand it. And it's there for believers everywhere, for us to know, for us to pay attention to your words, for us to listen, and, Lord Jesus, for us to be reminded of your love for us, your love which we'll remember momentarily as we gather around the communion table. But in your love, we also know that there is wrath to come for unbelievers. Lord Jesus, I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would pour out your Spirit so forcefully while we are gathered in worship this morning, that not one person in this congregation will leave this place not having placed their trust in Jesus as Savior and as Lord. Hear our prayer, O God. We ask in your name. Amen.